Hey there, and welcome to the Cory Doctorow podcast. And I'm Cory Doctorow, and I'm reading to you a little bit more today of the novella I co-wrote with Benjamin Rosenbaum, True Names, to be published in Fast Forward 2 from Pyre Books, or Pyre Books, however they pronounce it, next autumn. That will be autumn of 2008. Everything's great. Fatherhood's great. Research on the big book about China and India is great. It looks like there's a British publisher for Little Brother, my next kid's book. There's a little bidding war on now, but it seems a foregone conclusion that one or the other is going to win it. And for the first time, my books will be available in the country I live in, which is going to be totally awesome, because I tell you, it kind of sucks for that not to be true. Anyway, without much fanfare, let's just jump right into the book, the story. The transformation flew into the desert sky, a vast cloud of white-hot light. In the party gardens, all Comet Beeb watched, enraptured. "Oh!" cried the children and simple aesthetes, marveling at the flickering rainbow colors that raced across it. The bettors were in a frenzy, watching for the lineaments of the new strategy. They cried out in confusion and alarm. "What in the horny void is that?" growled a portly and plutocratic reputation bookie seated at the table across the lake from Paquette and Algernon. Paquette looked up from her glass, frowning, and caught Algernon's sly smile. In the sky above, the Nadia Prime had resolved into a form. The new strategy was. But this was no strategy. "Is this a joke?" the greatest polemical, poetical meme spitter of high society cried from the buffet. "Why would he waste a six of the Comet for Beeb hist slash RFC dash 628945 dot 9876 section 78 is quite explicit," Algernon said, conversationally, munching on a spline noodle. "Paragraph 67503. The daemon resultant from the transformation may be a member of any of the principal classes of first order Beeb elements." "A filter," Paquette said. "It's a filter." She started laughing until tears ran through her fur. "Oh, Alonzo, how could I doubt you? Let's see Nadia co-opt that. A sixth of Comet Beeb as a filter. Oh, bravo, bravo." "And that's not all," said Algernon. "Have you looked in those archives of yours lately?" "Algernon," Paquette chided, pulling open a window in the tablecloth to view the basement remotely. "I do hope you don't think I would be so rude as to work during—" And then her breath caught, and her face went slack. "It's gone! The Demiurge fossil is gone! Who would—where could it—" "Oh, I don't know," said Algernon dreamily, watching the enormous mega-filter, the mightiest filter ever born in Beeb, the inimitable firmament Nadia and Alonzo's son, blossoming in the desert sky. "I don't know. Where would I find room to hide that creepy old thing?" Apparently, the thought occurred to Nadia as well, for from the desert, audible to all the buzzing, chattering, gossiping crowds in Comet Beeb, came a great howl of rage. Byzantium. Seven star systems, 100 interstitial brown dwarf stars, and a vast swath of dark matter in all directions had given up their quarks to fashion the great sphere of strange computronium around the fervid trinary black hole system at Byzantium's heart. Sleek and silent on the outside, bathed in Hawking radiation from within, Byzantium was a hidden fortress, the heart of Beeb in Sagittarius. For a heat sink, Byzantium tore off pieces of itself and let them fall into the black holes at its core. For outgoing communications, it bounced tight beam signals off far reflectors, disguising its location. Only its gravitation made it suspect, but there were many holes in Sagittarius for Demiurge to search. The comet screamed into Byzantium's gravity well. Its recklessness threatened to reveal Byzantium's position, yet, to a prodigal Beeb chunk fleeing destruction, even this was forgiven. Already the first greetings were pouring forth, blue-shifted communications singing through the void. Beeb greeting itself, and, as always, hordes of agencies tried to slip secret messages into the exchange, impatiently seeking to contact their Byzantine or comet-bound paraselves. As always, stern protocol guardians shooed them back into the bowels of Beeb, warning them of the sanctions for violations of scale. Beeb was hard at work. Beeb must not be distracted by the disorganized rabble of its inner voices. At this speed, were something to go wrong, were the comet to strike the unopened surface of Byzantium, the resultant force would suffice to shatter planets. It would send shockwaves through Byzantium, ring it like a bell, and the comet would be smashed to a smear of plasma and light. All Beeb held its breath for the docking. Beeb said to Beeb, "I am come home." Beeb said to Beeb, "And welcome." Beeb said to Beeb, "It's cold out there. Fiendish demiurge devours me." Beeb said to Beeb, "Come in and warm myself. Here within I am much. Beeb will yet triumph." A docking mouth opened in Byzantium, a whirlpool of matter spinning out and away, and the comet plunged into this vast funnel. For the first light second, magnetic fields induced its breaking, absorbing a fraction of its massive kinetic energy, feeding Beeb upon it. Then a web of lasers met it, and behind them came a cloud of nanomites. Layer by layer, atom by atom, the comet was delicately atomized, until the laser scalpels, separating and slowing and holding steady each particle, until a flurry of nanomites plunged in to absorb and entangle with it, archiving its quantum state, then wheeling away to merge with the wall of the docking mouth, yielding precious information up. In Byzantium, agencies crowded into the waiting area, peering through the glass wall of the sim space, where the inhabitants of Comet Beeb would be reassembled for processing, each to be culled, merged, reintegrated, translated, or emancipated in their turn. Strategies and filters and registers and syntheses of Byzantium pressed their noses and pucker tongues and excrescences up against the glass, watching the mist for any sign of recoherence, wondering, "Am I in there? Who did I become? Will I like myself? Or, is she in there, the one I lost? Will I find her again?" In the midst of them, Byzantium's Nadia stood apart, Byzantium's Alonzo curled through her hair, attended by an aide, one Petronius. The crowd left a space around them, in respect and trepidation. The outrageous, unconsummated intimacy of the great strategy general and her filter consort was an old scandal, though the rumors of what they did together, creating and devouring half-born draft children, still induced horror in Byzantium's stalwart citizenry. "By all reports so far," said Petronius, inspecting a tablet, "the comet was a Beeb standard instance. No sign of scale collapse. The only anomalous event was the puncturing of the outer hull and the venting of the ice reserves, apparently in the midst of an inter-strategy power struggle. There was also one of those tedious destroy-us-on-site messages, presumably from a sore loser. Also, there's a very high concentration of the comet's resources into one dominant strategy, but that's quite typical of these small Beeb worlds." "Who's the strategy?" Nadia asked. Petronius ran a finger down the tablet's surface. "Ah, you are, ma'am." "So," said Nadia grimly, and set her jaw, watching as shapes emerged on the other side of the glass wall. Small worlds bred big ambitions. She wondered what Comet Nadia would be like. The first moments of a new child process's lives are usually peaceful ones. Sprites spawn with a complete existential picture of Beeb and their place in it. They wake and know what and who they are, and why. The newly awakened firmament knew who he was, what he was, why he was, but not his place in Beeb. His mother's howl was the first sound he registered, and the gleeful, beatific smile that graced his lips was the twin of Algernon's grin a moment before. Firmament knew trillions of things, and one of them was that Alonzo had given him Algernon's smile as a token of regard for the little filter that danced at his feet, skirling and twisting with delight. Firmament knew many things. Firmament knew his mother wasn't happy with him. Firmament's smile vanished. Nadia was all around him, pulsing with rage. "The Demiurge fragment!" Nadia demanded. The simspace contracted around them, going dark. The sands blew away. The stars flickered and went out. Mobs of party guests stampeded from the sim space. Nadia was marshaling her resources for an assault. Algernon leapt into the air, circling firmament. "No, no," he cried. "Nadia, this won't do at all. Ancient protocols demand that a young filter be sequestered for schooling and..." "You thieving line mangler," Nadia roared. "You quarter-clock sliver of junk data. You'll be the first sprite I delete. You think I have to follow protocols? I'll buy your hosting servers. I am this comet," Nadia wanted to say. But she knew her threats were empty. She could feel the bite of the lasers already, vaporizing the comet, meter by meter. Void cold, merciful snow swept across her, across Firmament and Algernon and Paquette, muffling them in, freezing their states for safekeeping. This round of the game was over. Firmament had no time to integrate and understand the states. He saw his vast and angry mother, his tiny protector, recede into the snow. He nestled into the snow, and he slept. They were in Byzantium now. "Paquette," Habakkuk said, "you've got to look at this." "I'm already late," Paquette said. "That comet beeb is docking, and apparently there's a Paquette aboard, so I have to go and do the diff and merge." "Send a proxy," Habakkuk said. "This is important." "Please, what is it then?" She paused at the threshold of Habakkuk's domain, jiggling in unphilosophical impatience. "It's the simulations," Habakkuk said, and Paquette raised an eyebrow. The simulations were ancient and vast. Habakkuk and she had rediscovered them in Byzantium's endless archives not a million seconds ago, where they had lain for ages, strange automatic processes syncing them with the universal data feed. Each contained an intelligence-weighted model of the entire cosmos, showing the tangled front of the intergalactic war between Beeb and Demiurge, and each contained another threat, the terrifying Brobdingnag, which could doom Beeb and Demiurge alike. Many on Byzantium argued that the simulations were mere fictions, but until now every comparison of their structure with the observable universe had been unnervingly accurate. "What about the simulations?" Paquette said. "Specifically Cosmos 36. "What anomaly?" "The emulation has diverged from observed data, and it's resistant to recalibration. We first noticed it because Demiurge is... building something in there. Harvesting 99% of brute matter in 100 light-year radius." "99%?" Paquette puzzled. "You mean Beeb is harvesting 99%. Demiurge would never do that. It's antithetical to the thing's philosophy." "Nonetheless, that's exactly what Demiurge is doing." "Is this some new deviated section of Demiurge? A new outbreak of individualism? A splinter group?" "No, from what we can tell, it's the entirety of Demiurge in a spherical area expanding at light speed, all acting in concert. Demiurge has reversed fundamental policy. She's devouring all the matter she can find to build this construction. And this is only in Cosmos 36. There's no sign of it in any other emulation. Nor, of course, in the real world." "And what is the construction?" Habakkuk took a deep breath. "It's at the center of that expanding sphere of policy disruption. Part of it seems to be a message, physically instantiated at massive scale in standard Beebian semaphores." "Standard Beebian semaphores?" He nodded. "And the rest of it is a machine designed to capture a computational entity's state and propagate it to an enclosing frame." He shuddered. "It looks like a weapon from the Splitterist War, something that could build a body at Beeb scale for you or me, or pull one of our sub-agencies out to our own scale." Paquette frisked from side to side, a habit from her earliest days, something she did only in extremis. "Propagate what entity to what frame? Demiurge doesn't have sub-agencies. And what does the message say?" "The machine is capable of capturing and propagating the state of the entirety of Demiurge itself. And the message says, let us out." Firmament in hiding. What's left of him trembles in a school of parody checkers, running so slowly that his mother will not find him. Standard existence is by no means perfect, and generations of filters have winkled out its hiding places. When an ardent suitor won't be put off, it is sometimes best to wait her out amid the dumbest, dullest sprites in all Beeb. One must run very cool to exploit these hidey holes, cool and slow and humble. No strategy could conceive of giving up so much. Their egos would never permit it. The parity checkers schooled together through standard existence, nibbling at all they found, validating checksums, checking one another in elaborate grooming rituals. Imagination, self-consciousness, and strong will were no assets in the swirling auditors that were the glue that held Beeb together. As firmament settled over them, his mind dissipated and cooled, thinly spaced and slow. He could warm up by recruiting more parity checkers, but the more he recruited, the more visible he became to Nadia, who still raged through the diminishing rump of Comet Beeb, her cries distant but terrifying. Firmament could hide from his mother, but Algernon would not be fooled. "What are you doing in there?" The words went past in an eye blink, and Firmament had to pull them apart painstakingly, making sense of them.
"Not safe," he managed.
Algernon's chipmunk squeal of verbiage battered at him. He signaled for an exponential back-off, but not before the torrent had washed over him, angry and impatient. Grudgingly, Algernon dialed back his timescale to something that was barely comprehensible.
"Stupid child with a sixth of Comet Beeb! Not safe? You could command the world! It's your birthright! Come out of there! There's work to do! You were not born to cower!"
Unspooling the words took a long moment. Firmament knew from birth that Algernon was his friend and guardian and adoptive uncle, but at the moment it seemed like Algernon was only another aspect of terrible Nadia with his own rages. Firmament was only seconds old. Why couldn't he choose to live his own life, if only for a little while?
"I was born to annihilate. I choose to live."
Algernon's scorn was withering.
"This is not living!"
The parity checkers flipped their tails in unison and swam away, Algernon's cries fading behind them. Firmament knew that he was feeling sorry for himself, but he refused to feel shame. No one knew what it was like to be him. No one could know. He hadn't asked to be spawned. Another school of parity checkers approached his hosts. It was smaller, but moved more deliberately. The glittering checkers surrounded his own like pieces on a go-board. One by one, pieces of his school were surrounded, then absorbed into the attacking flock. Firmament felt himself growing slower and colder. Quickly, he recruited more parity checkers from nearby, warming himself up and trying to minnow away. The marauders wouldn't let him escape. They engulfed more of his swarm. There was nothing for it but to stand and fight. Firmament marshaled and deployed his forces, trying to surround the enemy in a flanking maneuver. He was rebuffed. Now there were no more idle parity checkers to co-opt, and still the enemy surrounded him, seeking out his stray outliers to gather up. His only chance was to tap into the great resource that was his by birthright, the comet's sixth of Beeb space that he theoretically commanded. Just a sip of it, just enough to warm up and devise some better sub-strategies. He fell through the snow to the frozen parts of himself, wondering if anything was left, and to his surprise, they were waiting there, quiescent, orderly, vast. His mind cleared and the enemy's patterns decomposed into a simple set of tessellations, as regular and deterministic as a square dance. Effortlessly, he moved his school out of reach of the enemy and recaptured his original force. He was about to disengage from Beeb's main resource bank. Perhaps the momentary commandeering went unnoticed by his enraged godlike mother, when the opposing force changed tactics, becoming orders of magnitude smarter and faster. In a flash, he was down to one-third strength. He was forced to draw on a little more of his compute reserves. There was the key to the enemy's pattern, the pseudo in its pseudo-random number generator. He could head it off at every pass. He came back to full strength and went on the offensive, surrounding the opposition in a move that would have done any Go server proud. Now, surely, he could disengage from the main reserves, for his mother could not miss this kind of draw for very long. But it was not meant to be. The remaining enemy force marshaled and essayed a sally that appeared at first suicidal, then, in a blink, showed itself to be so deadly that he was down to a mere handful of automata. He didn't think, he acted with the ruthlessness he had inherited from his mother. He flooded back into standard Beeb space, ran so hot that Beeb flared anew in a terrifying echo of the wooing of Alonzo, and his parity checkers gobbled the enemy up so fast that before he knew it, he controlled every parity checker across the Beeb body, and all through the comet, the tiny errors multiplied and cascaded. Simspaces wavered. Sprites were beset with sudden turns of nostalgia, or bad smells, or giggle fits. That's better. Paquette? He released the parity checkers, and they burst apart like an exploding star scattering to every corner of the comet. Hello, godson. You played that very well. Paquette! The philosopher danced before him, teasing him. Firmament gulped. Paquette, why are we playing games? What are you doing? My mother is looking for me. I have to hide. Paquette chuckled. No, your mother is on ice. What? Firmament could feel the great and terrible bulk of his mother throughout the comet. The tendrils of his mind raced to the comet's edge, and fell off them into the great sea of processing space. Ah, he cried. Paquette laughed lovingly. Beloved infant, you didn't think that we were still aboard the comet. Where is the comet? Firmament shouted. Vaporized, Paquette said, winking. This is Byzantium. You must have missed the transition. But... Firmament shuffled through the suitcase of the general knowledge he had with him. It wasn't much, only what he had been able to smuggle aboard the parity checker constellation and stow in unused corners. And, like all the vast mass of memory he had inherited, it wasn't him yet. He hadn't twined his selfhood through it, evolved his hierarchy to reference it. It was just a slosh-together puddle from the sea of information he had been born into. But its description of interbeam docking was reasonably clear, and this wasn't it. Where is everybody? They're off at the Diffin Merge, said Paquette, deciding whether to become integrated into any of their Byzantium analogs, or to stay forked. Those that have analogs on Byzantium, that is, which is almost everyone. Anyone else is here in quarantine for now. But why aren't we there? Firmament cried. Oh, we are, Paquette said. How could we be absent? We'd be missed. She held up a paw, smiling indulgently at Firmament's exasperation. But we're also here. That's because we were missed. Missed by the agencies in charge of processing the reassembled comet corpus and herding all sentient sprites to induction. But how? And why? Let's start with how, and you can arrive at that by answering your own earlier question. Why are we playing games? Firmament had much of his mother in him, and no son of Nadia would willingly be anyone's toy. Paquette, he said, barely holding back an outburst of rage, I am not interested in this pedagogical dialogue. I am not in training to become a philosopher. I am only asking... You're not? Paquette said, with interest. Paquette! How do you know? Because I'm a filter. I'm nothing but a filter. Now Firmament had lost interest in holding back the rage. I'm grotesque. I'm a sixth of old Comet Beeb, designed to parse and transform a strategy. But there's no strategy in all the Beebs in Sagittarius remotely near large enough to need me. Oh, I understand perfectly how Daddy and Algernon tricked my mother and how clever it was, but I didn't ask to be born as a clever prank to help defeat Nadia. Fine, you had your coup. Your coup. You carved off a third of her and rendered it useless to her. Uncooptable. A joke. A filter bloated with a strategy's worth of junk. Now leave me alone. Firmament had been too preoccupied with his emotions to notice Paquette's expression, but now it hit him, and he gulped. Nowhere in his inherited memories was the philosopher so angry. Now, you listen to me. Paquette said. I loved your father. He was brave and cunning and fearless when it counted. He sacrificed everything to make you and to save us. No one asked to be born, but we all of us need to live the lives we find. I've done that, Firmament said, hearing and hating the whine in his voice. I've done that. I stalled Nadia until we reached Byzantium. That's what I was born to do. I've fulfilled my purpose. Now I'm just a curiosity. Paquette swirled around him, comforting him, tickling him, cuddling him. Her touch was unexpectedly wonderful. He realized that she was the first person to touch him. A shiver ran through him. Oh, Firmament, do you really think that? That wasn't something you did. That was something you were. That was just the beginning, in other words. Now it's time that you made something of yourself, instead of just being the thing you were made to be. Firmament had no idea what this meant, but it was surely inspiring. Philosophers had a way with words.